So some people are listening to us tonight who have already had their COVID booster or who may be preparing to vaccinate their young kids. Our airwaves, I have to tell you, Greg, are filled with the voices of young children. Some of them actually quite happy to get that COVID shot at long last. But yours is the first book to tell us the full story of how the vaccines were discovered and really what went right in the race to find a vaccine in a world where I don't have to tell you so much has gone wrong for us as a people. How did this go correctly and somewhat very quickly with the understanding that the groundwork was laid over the past decades?
I don't think people appreciate, and that's sort of what my book is about, how many years of hard work went into these remarkable revolutionary vaccine approaches. We're talking about mRNA, which led to the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, as well as the adenovirus approach, which led to J&J and the AstraZeneca vaccine in Chicago and over in the UK. It's really a fascinating, dramatic story in some ways that was unexpected. There really are stubborn scientists who persisted, ignored the skeptics. They thought they had something special and they didn't know for sure, but they had a suspicion going into 2020 that they could stop a pandemic.
What were they dealing with back, say, in 1990? I mean, was it pretty nasty criticism that, look, you're barking up the wrong tree, you're pursuing something that simply will not come to fruition?
Well, historically, there's been a lot of skepticism about mRNA. It's a molecule. We all have it in our body. It transports instructions from DNA to part of our cells, part of the nucleus where it gets created, things, proteins are created. But the scientists set out to create mRNA in the lab. And the idea being, well, if we can instruct the body to create certain proteins, hey, we can have vaccine or even drug factories within the body. And people always saw it as sort of the holy grail. This is what we'd love to be able to create. But there was always skepticism because mRNA is very unstable. It didn't seem to make sense. It didn't seem to be worthwhile to spend all this time working in mRNA. But these scientists, starting in 1990, even a little bit earlier that I write about, all over the country in little labs in Wisconsin and Maryland and Washington, D.C., and also Massachusetts, they persisted.
Do you find it ironic or unfortunate about a case where the vaccines came out so quickly that the speed led to vaccine hesitancy, even though it's a good thing? We've had millions and millions of people vaccinated, and they seem to be doing just fine, and we're protected from this awful disease.
Yeah, so I would have been hesitant myself had I not done the research and spoken to the scientists and the executives and gone back in history. It seems like it was an overnight success, but it really wasn't. And that's what my book is about, is the drama leading up to 2020, as well as what happened last year. And even last year, it went fast, but there were no corners that were cut. It wasn't as if there was any health that was jeopardized. These are really fascinating and persistent scientists that for years have been working on an approach. They got it to the point where they thought it worked, and only last year could they test it with this new virus, with this new approach. But it's important for people to realize that these were not overnight success stories. If anything, it took decades of hard work.
And you mentioned the instability inherently in mRNA, whereas we have some people fearing that if they get the vaccine, somehow their DNA or their molecules will be scrambled or hurt in some way.
Well, that's the irony. For years, scientists didn't want to work with mRNA because they said, and they were right, it's such an unstable molecule that gets chopped up by the body's enzymes, the cell's enzymes, almost as soon as it enters. So no one really wanted to work with this stuff. And it took some really stubborn outsiders to ignore the conventional wisdom. It's ironic and almost sad because, yeah, now people say, well, I don't want an mRNA vaccine in me because it's going to change my body. It doesn't. It disappears really quickly. And I think to understand that, you need to understand some of the history. And that's kind of what my book is about.
If this thing doesn't end with the Delta variant, are we in an awful place or can new vaccines be developed?
So I'm going to give you some bad news and some good news. The bad news is that we're stuck with this coronavirus for the foreseeable future. It's going to be endemic. When it's not going away, it's going to crop up here and there. There'll be outbreaks, especially among parts of society that aren't vaccinated. But the good news is these vaccines are very protective. But not only that, there are second and third generation vaccines that the same scientists are working on that are going to be even better. They're going to combine things so you can go into a doctor's office and get a COVID vaccine along with a flu vaccine, maybe even more. And they're able to adjust these vaccines such that if there is a new variant, the mRNA can use that new sequence and react accordingly. So we're in a new era where these vaccines are actually going to be applicable, hopefully, to other kinds of diseases and illnesses as well.
We may be debating this particular question forever. Did COVID emerge naturally or did it somehow escape from a laboratory?
We don't know for sure yet. There are all kinds of suspicions. I'm not of the view that it leaked out of a lab or was created by the Chinese. It took us years to find the original host, the animal host for HIV. There were suspicions back then, and there was the CIA, the U.S. government, KGB, etc. And it turns out it was an animal. And I think likewise, we'll eventually find the original host for this virus as well.
You'll forgive me for fast forwarding toward the end of the movie because there are so many interesting characters. We haven't really gotten into the names and faces and quirkiness of some of the scientists that you write about in your book. But I understand it's kind of a different situation over at Pfizer-BioNTech versus Moderna. You describe great emotion among the Moderna people and what they've gone through over the past year and that there were tears and they're really worn out, I suppose, maybe a little bit like the rest of us having gone through this pandemic.
That's exactly right. There was all kinds of drama behind the scenes. There was nervousness. There was even fear on the part of all these executives and scientists and researchers working hard on the vaccine. They weren't people that would share these emotions publicly, but internally they were nervous. Not so much that their vaccine wouldn't work, but maybe it wouldn't work enough. Maybe they wouldn't have the money to get it done. I mean, Moderna, as recently as May of 2020, was running out of the cash, didn't have the resources, went everywhere, the government, Gates Foundation, to Merck. They tried to find a partner, and they were striking out, and they were worried that they had an effective vaccine, and they wouldn't be able to pull it off, wouldn't be able to make enough vaccines to help people. And yeah, there was all kind of drama as they and Pfizer tested these vaccines. It wasn't sure what was going to happen. And yeah, I was struck as I wrote the book about how much behind the scenes drama there was. And frankly, they've had a difficult period. They've worked all out, these people. It's been emotionally draining. They feel like maybe they could have done more. They beat themselves up sometimes. So it was that kind of drama and that kind of emotion among really quirky, interesting, fascinating characters, the scientists, researchers, executives, that really struck me as I wrote this book.
This may be quite a small part of your book, but I think because we're here in the Washington area and we have Gaithersburg-based Novavax, I wanted to ask you about that company of great local interest. They're not out with their vaccine yet, but could they be contributing to society pretty soon?
Yeah, Novavax is a fascinating company and fascinating story, and they're in my book. They, for years, saw failure after failure after failure. Name the disease, name the illness. They tried to create a vaccine for it, and it didn't work. And I give them credit. They persisted. They were resilient. They believed in their approach. It's a little bit different than mRNA. You can read about it in the book. And I believe that they're going to be coming out soon with a vaccine that is as effective, if not more effective, than everything we've seen. Now, we don't really need it so much in this country, but we do abroad. And it's also one that's a little bit more traditional, and it's one that doesn't have to be kept at really cold temperatures. So that's going to be really valuable for countries, poor countries that can't keep these vaccines stored in really ice-cold temperatures. So I do believe, it's not clear yet, I do believe Novavax will be coming out with a vaccine soon, and it'll be one that will be really valuable and necessary around the world.
You piqued my interest a bit with an earlier answer where we might be able to someday get a two-for-one flu and COVID vaccine. Can we expand that out? Can we take solace in this vaccine work, possibly being able to help people who suffer from cancer or MS or something else?
I'm optimistic. Yeah, these researchers are taking the billions they've made and plowing it into new research. They're hopeful. In some ways, we may be in a new era for vaccine development. You don't want to get overconfident, but I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic. Just like we've been able to turn on the immune system to fight off COVID-19, maybe we could actually turn it off for some autoimmune diseases. People are using these approaches for things like cancer and AIDS and malaria, and I would not count them out. These are very unlikely stars, unlikely heroes, but they're the ones who have stepped up for COVID-19, and I think they're going to surprise us in the future as well.
The past year has been filled with these conversations among people. Oh, you got the Moderna, I got the Pfizer. Oh, I got the J&J, I've got to get my booster now. And so you really, is it fair to say as a final pitch for your book, put faces and names and emotions to the names of these companies?
Yeah, my book is about people, and it's about the unsung researchers deep in labs, fascinating, quirky, stubborn, contentious. They have rivalries between each other. They've got emotions. They wear them on their sleeves. they're unlikely heroes too. You would have thought vaccine giants like Merck and Sanofi and GSK would have stepped up to save us. It wasn't. It was kind of like you said, this little company, Novavax, going to step up. Moderna, no one's ever heard of a year and a half ago. BioNTech in Germany. Pfizer played a role, but the development was really this company in Germany that no one had really heard of. So it's unlikely heroes who have stepped up to save us, and they're fascinating, they're quirky, and they're dramatic in some ways.